Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. 27 states regulate gift cards. 27 states includes Ohio. And almost a year ago, new federal consumer protection rules on gift cards went into effect. How have those rules worked and how has our use of gift cards changed? Joining us right now is Michelle Jun. Michelle is a senior attorney at Consumers Union. It's the publisher of Consumer Reports magazine, and she's also an expert on consumer laws concerning gift cards. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me.
First, let's hear about that, the new federal consumer protection rules. They were included in the Credit Card Act of 2009. They took effect last August. How are they working?
I would say that consumers as a whole, they're having found that there are better protections now. And before then, like you said, there are 27 states that do have protections for gift cards, but these are only the gift cards that are branded by a retailer. So your Macy's, your Blockbusters, all the different retailers. Prior to the federal protections, the gift cards that are network branded, the ones that have the Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover insignias that can be used anywhere, couldn't be regulated. So as a whole, consumers are benefiting. So I would say that, you know, prior to last August, expiration dates were very short and fees were very high. And since then, there has been improvement.
Are they retroactive? In other words, if I have a card, and I do, that I've been sitting on for 2 or 3 years, will I have the benefit of the new federal rules?
Unfortunately, no. So it would be the cards that were purchased after the date, which was August of last year of 2010, that were underneath these new federal protection.
Some of the states have enacted stronger consumer protections for gift cards. How do they match up with the federal rules? Is it a real patchwork quilt at this point?
In some regards, it is still a patchwork quilt. Like I said, the store-branded cards, the ones that you use at retailers, they can still have stronger protections under the state laws. For instance, there are a handful of states that if the value on the card is, say, less than $10 or $5, you can get cash back instead of trying to figure out how you're going to use it at that store. But as far as the network-branded cards, the Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover gift cards, those still need to be regulated at the federal level.
And why is that?
Because they're issued by national banks.
Okay. 614-292-8513. If you want to join the conversation with Michelle Jun, she's a senior staff attorney with Consumers Union. We're talking about gift cards. They have proliferated amazingly. We're talking about a $90 billion business. Could that possibly be true, Michelle?
It is true.
That's
it is
amazing.
Very profitable.
That's just in the United States?
That's in the U.S. And this is a relatively new industry. They cropped up in the mid-90s. And since then, like you said, it's become a multi-billion dollar industry. Consumers find it, you know, appealing for a variety of reasons. But the industry loves them because they're incredibly profitable.
How do they profit? We're going to talk with someone from the industry later on from First Data Corporation, but from where you sit, how are they profitable?
Well, for the most part, it's because the cards are oftentimes not used by consumers. So the value on the cards, you know, they end up, going away due to expiration dates or fees because consumers simply don't use them. And when that happens, it's called breakage. And according to the Tower Group, which is a strategic think tank, they have estimated that $2.5 billion have been unused on gift cards, and that was in 2010. So, you know, our number one thing that we keep saying is, if you have a gift card, use it ASAP.
Well, if consumers don't use them, and I have some building up in my wallet, why do they continue to be so popular?
I think, despite what a lot of consumer advocates have been saying, I think it's because they're easy and they seem a little bit more personal than cash. Although, you know, with cash, it's guaranteed to be used by the person. But for whatever reason, gift cards are just something that people like to give as gifts.
Ray in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Just a couple of comments. You know, we initially had used some gift cards and had the problem with service fees and everything else and having, you know, the value of them diminished over time. But we recently remodeled our kitchen in part of our home and made a beeline to the local grocery store to buy cards for appliances and furniture as well as the home improvement store. And the net result was that we effectively, with four vehicles, haven't paid for gasoline since March of this year. It's been effectively free. But what we did find out was that there's an awful lot of nuances you need to check. I know when we started initially looking at getting Visa or MasterCard gift cards, we found that A, there were no gas points on those, and B, there were activation fees on top of that. And so I guess what I'd like to understand is how far away are we from getting some kind of uniform code on these across the different states? Is that even in the future? And then I'll take my answer offline.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. Michelle?
So there's a lot of confusion because a plastic card, despite the fact that, you know, you could find them on a gift card mall, and those are the walls that you find at the grocery store and other places where you find gift cards, it might not actually be a gift card. So with the federal protections that passed last year or went into effect last year with the Credit Card Act, the funds on the card can't expire for 5 years. And these are on gift cards. And the fees can't start accruing until the 13th month of inactivity. So you can put the card in a drawer and then use it on the 13th month, and you'll find that all of a sudden you've been assessed a fee. And then, so those are on gift cards. And then there's the other universe of prepaid cards, which look just like gift cards and can be utilized like gift cards, but in essence, they're like a debit card that's tied to a bank account, and these cards are unregulated right now. So it may be that he had picked up a prepaid card, which do have activation fees attached to them. With gift cards, the only fees that can be assessed once a consumer hasn't used it for a year can only be assessed once a month, and those won't be activation fees. There are other types of fees that the gift card company assesses.
Would you get the sort of prepaid cards you just mentioned at the, you know, the gift card mall?
Yes.
So how are you supposed to know? Yeah.
You can tell by the packaging. The packaging is supposed to say prepaid card. It may not say this is not a gift card, but with the prepaid cards, they have to say prepaid card on them. Which, you know, to most consumers, that's still quite confusing because they still look like the gift cards that are branded Visa, MasterCard, et cetera.
I very unscientifically posted a question on Facebook today, and I was surprised that the way the numbers came out. I asked people, you know, do you buy them for gifts for friends and family, or do you mostly buy them just for yourself, just like our last caller mentioned? And the majority do that now. It's not about gift giving anymore.
It is an attractive way to make sure that you're staying within your budget. And it can be done. It just consumers just have to be very, very careful about the fees that may be assessed. There are some cards that assess a fee on the front end, like American Express, where you're paying $5, $10 before you purchase the card, and then there aren't any fees on the back end, so during the actual usage of the card. So it's a little bit more clear-cut and defined as to how much that card will cost you. But there are other cards where you may not factor in the amount of money that you may lose. So they can be used as budgeting tools, but consumers have to be very, very careful and read the fine print.
Is it the same way for all of them that you go to the gift card mall now in the grocery stores or wherever and you take it to the cash register, and when you buy, you just pay for that amount? And it's
yes, absolutely. Because when you're taking it off the gift card mall, it's worthless. It's at the register when they become activated. So once you fork over your money is when that amount is being placed on the card.
And does everybody get involved in this now? I mean, everyone, you know, restaurants, can you not be involved in the gift card business these days?
I think basically everybody wants to be a part of the gift card business because, like you quoted earlier, it is an incredibly profitable industry. And, you know, retailers are trying to either, you know, make their brand more well-known or due to the breakage, they may profit from that amount of money. And at the same time, once a consumer walks into a store with a gift card, it's really hard to spend exactly $50. You're either going to spend over $50 or you're going to spend under $50, and that amount is going to be pocketed by the merchant.
Do we know if there are some gift cards or some retail stores that have less profitability from them than others? Does that make sense?
I'm not aware whether some are profiting more than others. My assumption would be, you know, it has to do with volume. So it's more likely that retailers that sell more gift cards are likely to gain more as well.
Oregon just passed their law that allows people to cash in for $5 or less. There's other states that I think, is it New York, that it can be $10 or less? How advantageous is that to the consumer?
Well, like you said, Oregon and I believe Massachusetts both have laws on the books where if you have $5 unused on your gift card, you can walk up to the register and say, I want my $5. California has a law where it's $10 or less. And for the most part, at least in California, a lot of retailers didn't know about the law, or they did know about the law and they weren't making good on the law. So a lot of consumers would be turned away. But we're trying to make sure that consumers do know about their state laws, and state attorneys general should make sure their consumers know about their gift card laws as well so that people can get every penny off of their gift cards.
My guest is Michelle Jund. She's a senior staff attorney with Consumers Union. We're talking about gift cards. If you have a question or comment for Michelle, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org if you'd like. You can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. Coming up, we'll hear from Michael Hursta. He's from First Data Corporation. It is a company that profits from gift cards. We'll find out more about it from him when we return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
And this is 89.7 NPR News. Be sure to visit WOSU.org/allsides for the latest updates from All Sides with Ann Fisher. From our website, you can listen and watch the show live weekdays from 10 until noon. You can also explore the All Sides archive, which includes audio and video of every show. Discover more about All Sides with Ann Fisher at WOSU.org/allsides.
Support for 89.7 comes from United Way of Central Ohio. United Way brings partners together with community support to create lasting change in people's lives through programs in education, income, health, and home. More at liveunitedcentralohio.org.
75 degrees under partly sunny skies, sunshine throughout the day today and a high of 87. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 66. More sunshine, another nice day for Saturday with a high of 87. Clouds and a chance of rain Saturday night, a low of 68. All Sides continues on 89.7.
We're talking about gift cards, the good, the bad, and for some people, I guess the ugly, at least how they stack up in my wallet, and how to evaluate their true value. We're talking with Consumers Union Senior Staff Attorney Michelle Jun. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you.
And also joining us now to talk about the business perspective of gift cards is Michael Hursta from First Data Corporation. Michael's responsible for product strategy and financial performance of First Data's gift card processing business. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
So I'm told that the first gift cards were introduced by Blockbuster in Florida in 1994. How big is the business now for you?
Well, it is a very substantial business for us. First Data processes gift cards in about 40 countries today around the world. You cited a figure earlier today of the overall gift card industry in the United States being about $90 billion, and I think that that's a fair estimate. Perhaaps another way of measuring it is that there's over a billion gift cards sold every year in this country. So, you know, approximately that's 3 to 4 per person. And so they really have been a great success story. As you noted, they've been around for about 15 years, and there's been a lot of change in the gift card industry over that time period. First Data has been involved with it over that entire span. We launched that program with Blockbuster back in the mid-90s. And so there's been some very interesting shifts in how both gift cards are sold and how they're used by consumers that I think is worth talking about.
Yeah, I think that how they're used by consumers is very interesting. I feel completely behind the eight ball on this, but why don't you tell us it's not all about gifts anymore.
No, that's right. And the original gift cards were just that. They were sold by major retailers, mainstream brands that consumers were very familiar with, and they largely were a product that one consumer would purchase and give to another consumer, usually a friend or family member. But as I believe you noted earlier in the program, there's been a very large shift over the last few years in turning these cards into what we call spending cards. And this is a different type of use where a consumer purchases a card from a brand that they know and enjoy shopping at, and then they go about registering that card with that brand, usually telling the brand some information about who they are, what they like to do, how they use their card sometimes. This provides a couple benefits. For the consumer, they get the protection of having that card registered, and so they have the ability to claim the value of that card at any time. And the merchant receives information about who the consumer is, and often provides the ability for consumers to reload those cards. And so as consumers use those cards, it can even happen automatically where another $30 might be loaded on a card each time it goes below $10. And consumers do this because they shop there frequently. It's convenient for that card to always have money on it. And they usually get some sort of reward from the merchant. And those rewards could be financial. Sometimes they are a bonus load that the merchant provides. You know, perhaps $5 for every 20 that gets loaded on the card. And sometimes it's non-financial. A lot of consumers just enjoy getting insider information about their favorite brands, new products that are coming out, events that are happening, things of that nature.
Really? They really like getting more information like that?
They really do. And so these cards have become not just, you know, financial tools for making payments in a store. They've also become a device to create a relationship between a merchant and consumer. And that card, it becomes that connection for those two parties to spend time together, if you will.
Well, from Rachel on Facebook, Rachel writes, I always refill my Starbucks card from gift cards I buy at Giant Eagle so I can get the gas points. And most birthday presents that need to be mailed are from Giant Eagle, too. I don't think I've paid for a tank of gas that hadn't had at least 40 cents off a gallon in more than 5 years. And even though some people call gift cards a cop-out and non-personal, I love getting them. It's shopping with someone else's money. Tell us a little bit about the profit for a company like First Data Corporation, Michael Hursta. How does it profit? Is it like just simply like Michelle Jun said, is because so many people don't cash them in?
That's not, well, a couple things I'd say about that. There's an entire value chain behind gift cards and different companies that are involved in providing different parts of the service that goes into a gift card product. First Data is a processor. Our job is to maintain the accounting behind all the balances on all the cards, and we process each transaction as it comes in for a card. And so the way that we make our money is by charging the merchant a fee for every time a transaction takes place, no matter what the amount of that transaction is. The merchant itself has a different way of viewing things, and I will say that in the past, there were some merchants that viewed the breakage on the card, the amount that was unspent, as the profit center. I would tell you that that's a belief that's long been diminished. Most merchants nowadays correctly recognize that the biggest value of a gift card is its ability to draw a consumer back into their store, and those consumers will generally spend more money than what's on the card. And when they do, the merchants profit, you know, quite well from that.
Andrew in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. I was wondering what the refund policy in Ohio is.
You mean as far as the cash back?
Yes, ma'am. I'm an avid shopper at Giant Eagle because I'm a renovator, and I shop at Home Depot, Lowe's all the time. And the most important thing to me is, of course, the gas when I run around town. And that's why I use the gift cards all the time.
Michelle, the Ohio doesn't have a refund law, does it?
I'm not aware of them.
Yeah. There isn't one, Andrew.
Yeah. Okay. All right, because you mentioned California and the other states, $5, California 10, and I was just wondering what ours was. I didn't hear that. So,
how big of a deal is that, Michael Hurst, the idea of a refund, the refund laws?
Yeah, there are several states that have laws that state that when a card goes below a certain balance that the store is obligated to provide that back as cash to the consumer. Most merchants who operate in at least one or more of those states that have those laws actually apply that generally across their store locations, whether they're in those states or not, and it really isn't that big of a deal. It's pretty easy for them to accommodate that.
Thanks, Andrew, for that call. Jean in Grove City, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
We've got gift cards in the past, and we would have problems getting the restaurants to accept them.
Can you be more specific? Like, what do you mean?
Like, we got two $10 gift cards from Frisch's, if I'm allowed to mention a name.
Frisch's, right.
And the first 10, they, you know, for our anniversary, the first 10 they accepted fine, and the second they would not, and said we didn't have anything on that 10, and we had never used it. And it happened at another place, why would it be accepted one place and wouldn't another?
Well, that's a good question I was going to ask earlier. How does the, Michelle Jun, when I'm buying a gift card, how do I know they actually, you know, swiped it right and put the right amount of money on it?
Well, you wouldn't quite know. The best thing then is to keep the receipt. Or to make sure that when you give the gift card, to provide the receipt as well along with the gift card.
But then, Michael Hurst, how would the retailer know that I hadn't already spent it somewhere else?
Well, so gift cards have an accounting system in the back end that carries the balances of all the cards and also mm-hmm. carries the transaction history. And so I think there's a couple things you can do. As a consumer, you should always get the receipt whenever you do a transaction with a gift card. The receipt should always publish on it what the amount of that transaction was and what the new balance on that card is after that transaction. That will always be a good record for the consumer. The merchants will normally have the ability to do what we call a transaction history on a card. So if you present that card to a retailer, a restaurant, what have you, they should be able to swipe that card, ask for transaction history, and be able to see over the last several months or last number of transactions what that background on that card is and be able to recognize what its past was.
And Jean says that now that she asks friends to not give her gift cards anymore. We have an email from Charlotte in Columbus. She says, I do buy gift cards for hardware store purchases at the supermarket in order to get additional gas perks on my grocery receipts. Why does a consumer with no car need gas perks? I guess that's Charlotte. Because friends ferry me around to the supermarket and the hardware store when I need to get bulky or heavy items home. It's a real thrill to save those babies and then cash in when buying a friend or neighbor a tank of gas for being decent enough to help me get stuff home. Lots of folks have mentioned gas perks. Is that one of the most popular things, Michael?
You know, I think it's certainly related to gas prices. So as gas prices go up, certainly that's something that consumers are very sensitive to and aware of. What we've seen with the rise of gift card malls, so when you sell, you know, a variety of different gift cards, that often happens at grocery stores, and often those grocery stores either have gas stations on their own premise or they have relationships with other gas stations. to provide those store discounts. For a grocery store, they actually receive a payment as a percentage of the gift cards they sell in their store. So as an example, if a $50 card is sold within a grocery store, they might receive something like 5% of that, or $2.50. It actually is a very profitable item for a grocery store to sell on their shelves. They're a very low-margin business. And so what grocery stores do to incent people to buy the cards within their stores is to provide some sort of discount back to the consumer, which is basically taken out of that amount that they were paid as a commission for selling the card.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about gift cards with Michael Hursta. He's vice president for category manager of the prepaid First Data Corporation, and also Michelle Jun. She's a senior staff attorney at Consumers Union. If you have a question or comment for him, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Stacy called in from the road and left a message for us. She asked if she can use the Visa Discover gift cards online. Michelle, how does that work?
For the most part, they're used just like if you were to use a credit card. You know, people are able to utilize them much in the same way as any other plastic card.
So has that affected the cash-in rate? Now that you, I mean, with the that's for the Visa Discover gift cards, but what about if I have a gift card to, you know, Pottery Barn? Can I use that online too?
I think it depends on the merchant, but for the most part, there is that place in the checkout where you can enter the gift card code.
Okay.
You just have to make sure that, and for the most part, those merchants do have the transaction history, or will be able to tell you how much money you have left on your card, and then you'll have to pay in another form of payment the difference if there is one.
Okay. How do merchants manage the accounting of this when they when the gift card is sold, say, to a Pottery Barn or to, you know, Frisch's Big Boy or whatever it might be? What do they pay taxes on that point of sale, or when the card is cashed in, Michael?
Yeah, it tends to happen from a taxing perspective when the card is used to pay for goods, and so the actual purchase of a gift card is generally a tax neutral event. The merchant receives, you know, the full value of whatever it is the card was purchased for. Let's say, again, $50, and so they have this $50 in cash now. They also have a $50 worth of liability, because at some point in the future, the cardholder is going to come back and expect goods or services in that amount. When that card is brought back in for payment and goods are being purchased or services being purchased, that's when the taxable event tends to take place. Sales tax is accrued, and normally that's paid for by the consumer as it normally would be.
And Michelle Jun, we talked about the company, the retailer, whoever has an obligation. But what if that retailer goes out of business, like the unthinkable, you know, can happen? What do you do? What kind of protection is there out there for people who are holding those cards?
There are little protections. The one thing that consumers can do is become a party to the bankruptcy action. So you have to go through the process of filing much as in the same way that other creditors do. And bankruptcy codes have a chain of parties, and consumers can get in line. The likelihood of a consumer actually recouping the entire amount that was left on their gift card is quite slim, and it could be quite lengthy. What we do recommend is that when you find out that a store is going under bankruptcy, is to try and contact your credit card company if it was purchased by credit card, and to recoup the funds that way, or whoever purchased the card to contact their credit card company if it was purchased by credit card as well. But aside from that, consumers are pretty much stuck with a worthless card.
Mary in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I work for a major retailer, and we accept quite a few of these gift cards. And I just wanted to comment, the gentleman from DataCorp had said when the woman wasn't able to use her card at the retail establishment, that the retail establishment was able to backtrack and find if there was dollars amount on the card. Just want to let you know, I work for a major retailer, and we are not able to do that at the store level. But what we do have on the back of the card is an 800 number, and any customer that has any problems with their card can call that number and get those items cleared up.
Okay. Thank you for that call, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Michael Hursta, is what are the latest trends? I mean, what's next on the horizon for gift cards? I don't even know why we call them gift cards anymore, but whatever you want to call them. What's the next great thing?
I think the next great thing is the move from these cards being physical devices that you carry in, you know, a leather wallet, to being virtual devices that today many people might have in their email inboxes. But I think what we're going to see in the very near future here is a large change in the people carrying their gift cards within electronic wallets that are on their phones. As phone technology has really improved substantially in the last couple of years, a lot more people carry smartphones. It's a lot easier to begin using those devices to pay at a store.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're going to see is a lot of people who begin storing their gift cards essentially as virtual representations on their phone. And that's going to really change both how people, you know, manage their gift cards, because one, there'll be much less risk of losing their card. It'll always be on their phone. Two, it'll be very easy to always know how their card was used in the past because they'll have immediate access to view the balance of the card and its history. And three, there will be a connection there, I think, between a merchant and a consumer, where if a consumer allows it, there will be the ability for merchants to send messages and other types of benefits to a consumer who's carrying their card, prompting them to use it or find other ways to come visit the merchant and experience their stores. So I think that's really the next big thing, and I think that's happening right now in 2011.
Michelle John, any cautionary tales as far as that trend?
We actually issued a report recently on mobile payments, and gift cards were certainly a part of it. We encourage consumers, just like with the plastic cards, to make sure that they register any information with the merchant so that they can make sure that they can obtain the full value on their mobile gift card at that point.
Okay. We are talking about gift cards, whatever you want to call them. My guest, Michael Hursta, he's vice president with First Data Corporation. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Still with us, Michelle Jun. She'll be with us in the next segment. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Previously on Car Talk.
I won't tell you about the 97 Outback I had.
See, this is one reason.
Did you say had?
Yeah, had.
This
is one reason. I mean, there are lots of reasons why we should never buy a used car, but this is
one of
them. Because you never know what kind of a nutcase owned it before you.
Join us for more keen yet sensitive analysis this week on Car Talk.
And Car Talk tomorrow at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher today. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, All Sides Weekend begins with Classical 101 host Christopher Purdy and a discussion of the best books for reading. And for the end of summer, join us for All Sides Weekend at 11.
Support for 89.7 comes from Antioch University Midwest, helping adults to complete their bachelor's or to start their master's degree. Last call for fall classes begins soon. More information at midwest.antioch.edu.
Partly sunny skies and 75 degrees right now in downtown Columbus at 10:40 this morning. Mostly sunny skies for today and a high of 87. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 66 degrees. Sunshine for Saturday, a high of 87. A chance of rain Saturday night, a low of 68. And sunshine for Sunday, a high of 83. All Sides continues.
The this hour, talking about gift cards and how to get the best value for our money. Michelle Jun from Consumers Union is joining us again. And also with us now, Judd Lillestrand. Judd is the founder and CEO of ScriptSmart.com. It's a website that reviews and ranks specific gift cards and also compares states' consumer protection laws for gift cards. Welcome to the show, Judd.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Judd, you're the founder and main researcher for ScriptSmart. How did you get started with this website and how does it work?
Right. Well, I wanted a way that it would be easier to compare the quality of gift cards. So essentially, we have gift card reviews where we provide a bulleted list of what we like and what we don't like. And then we also supplement that with a gift card score. And a gift card score is a number between 0 and 100, which represents the consumer friendliness of a gift card program. And it's done by an algorithm. So basically, researching a gift card, we'll add in the data, and boom, we have a gift card score. It's weighted at various attributes for a gift card. So things like, does it have fees or expiration? Can it be used at all locations? Can it be used online and in-store? Basically trying to uncover any of those gotchas that we heard about earlier. And then we also have the state law grade. So we talked about some state laws, and it can be tough to know where a state stands. So very similar to the gift card score, we have state laws, which are an A through F, and just like school, where A being the most consumer-friendly protections for a state, F being basically zero, a bulleted list of what we like and what we don't like. And state laws are we look at things like the fees expirations, cash back laws. Has the state legally defined a gift card? Are gift cards considered unclaimed property? I mean, there's some states that will actually consider a gift card unclaimed property, and the merchant must turn it over to the state. So it's just all trying to make it easier for consumers to understand gift cards and the facets around them.
Okay, so Ohio, from what I understand, doesn't fare well in your...
So you have an F.
We have an F. Don't blame it on me. It's not my... I didn't do it. But what... So what...
I know.
What don't you like about Ohio?
Well, according to Ohio law, gift cards can expire within 2 years. Now, keep in mind, the federal law will override that of the 5 years. But we still want to make a focus on state laws. So 2 years, they can expire, and also post-sale fees may be charged after 2 years from the date of purchase. And it's post-sale fees of any amount. Merchants aren't required to give cash back, and Ohio doesn't maintain a consumer-centric webpage dedicated to gift card laws to make it easy for consumers to understand. I mean, you have to go to the section code to find out the information.
And what does Ohio do anything right? Even an F student usually has, maybe they participate in class
absolutely.
Or something. Okay, so what does Ohio do?
The gift cards aren't considered unclaimed property in the state of Ohio, which is great. They've legally defined what a gift card is. And
what's the benefit of legally defining it?
Sometimes there'll be, exceptions as to what a gift card really is by some states. So they might talk about, maybe a phone card is not included. Those are regulated by somebody else. Or bank issued, Visa, MasterCard gift cards are not included. Gift cards that are given away for free might not be included under state law.
Email from Ross. He says, I'm a contractor and I use gift cards. I buy them from the Kroger for gas points and pay using my credit card for airline miles. I think that's why most people use them. That certainly seems to be the case. Brad, you have some gift cards from your wedding. Congratulations, and you're on the air.
Well, thanks. We purposely did not register for any gifts because we wanted to get cash because we're trying to pay down some student loan debt, and our guest didn't quite get the hint. So we have a whole bunch of, like, Bed Bath & Beyond gift cards, and I was just wondering if there is a way for us to get cash out of those gifts.
Or is there a way to trade them? Is there some way to help people like Brad, Michelle, or Judd? I'm sorry.
Absolutely, there is. There's been a whole market created, a secondary gift card market, where you can go and sell your gift cards for cash. You might get anywhere between 60 to 80% of the value for those gift cards. The company then turns around and sells that, 70 to 90% of the value there is a way. You're going to lose some money, but there's certainly companies out there, cardpool.com, plasticjungle.com, giftcardrescue.com, to name a few.
Well, that's quite a lot. I'm surprised at how many. That must be a pretty common. They must do okay if there're that many out there.
I would say so. I mean, somebody mentioned earlier, what was it, $2.5 billion in unused gift cards
right.
in 2010. So that's a pretty big market. And it happens. People end up with gift cards that they're simply not interested in using, and they'd rather take some than go buy things that they just don't need.
Michelle, John from Consumers Union, what's your estimation of the secondary gift card market?
We actually issued a report. This is Consumer Reports. They issued a report analyzing the different secondary markets, and so I would encourage the listener to go to consumerreports.org and find out which one of the sites is a better site than the other.
So there's so like anything else, there's some better than others.
Yes. Definitely.
We'll post the Consumer Reports link to the website on our website at wosu.org/allsides and also to scriptsmart.com. We're talking with Judge Lillestrand. He's the founder and CEO of ScriptSmart, and also Michelle Jun of Consumers Union, the publisher of Consumer Reports. Brad, you're from Emerysville, and you're a dissatisfied card customer. Hi, Brad. Hello, Brad.
This isn't Brad, it's Bob.
Oh, Bob, I'm sorry, I'm told Brad, but Bob it
okay,
is.
No problem,
sorry about
no
that.
Problem. I'm not a dissatisfied card user. I'm not a card user at all.
Oh, okay.
And I'm from, I guess, an older generation, and my theory is with my grandchildren, nephews, and nieces, they are always perfectly happy to get a nice $20 or $50 or $100 bill. There is no trouble redeeming it. They get change back. They can go to any store they want. There's no 50% redemption if you don't have it, et cetera. I do not understand whatsoever the fascination with gift cards. I think it's just an unnecessary thing. And what's the advantage of a gift card to the consumer over the way I do it?
Judd,
that's my question.
Yeah, Judd Lillestrand, you know, your website name comes from script, meaning a substitute for currency, which is not legal tender. So why don't you answer that? What's the benefit?
Well, I think, one, you know, you can't argue with the consumer preferences and the market size right now, right? So obviously there's something there. Not everybody's going to understand or agree with gift cards. I think that's going to be common, and in fact, consumer advocates, the party line's kind of been give cash, not gift cards. But it could be that it's taboo to give somebody cash. So, for example, I might not be able to give my parents, you know, $50 cash for Christmas, but I could give them a $50 gift card to a restaurant, right? So that's maybe more accessible. Furthermore, there are merchants that are also using gift cards to pay consumers. So Amazon.com does this with used electronics. So you can trade in your old iPhone and get a, you know, Amazon gift card worth the value that they specify. You know, there's also rewards programs. I mean, gift cards are out there, and it's pretty hard to avoid them, frankly. And I think they're a little bit more personal than cash. You can control where somebody's spending it. And in general, most consumers, I would say, enjoy giving and receiving gift cards, you know, because it's easy, and it also allows some flexibility for the recipient.
It's cheaper to mail, too. You give gift card scores from 0 to 100. What are examples of your top scoring gift cards? And what are some examples of your worst?
Yeah.
Let's start out with the best.
Yep. So some of the best, so for example, the Container Store. I don't know if they, I don't believe they're a national brand.
We have them here, though. Yeah,
they are. Okay, great. They have a 99, and what puts them kind of in that top percentile is, you know, things like they have all the bases covered. You know, you can get your balance everywhere. You know, you can, you know, no fees, no expiration. They have a return policy. but you can also get cash for your gift card at any time.
At any amount?
So it's not, right.
Okay.
So that kind of is pushing their gift card score even higher. And I think that that's a trend that's going to continue. I mean, it, you know, if you're confident in your program, why not give a consumer the ability to get cash at any time?
Because no matter what, you still have to go to the store to get the cash back.
Absolutely.
And they've got you in the door.
If I buy you a sweater, you can return the sweater. Why not be able to return your gift card?
What is an example of one of your lowest scores?
So on the lower end, one of the things that's also a factor of the gift card score is the financial condition of the retailer. So, you know, recently we've seen Blockbuster gift cards become worthless as a result of their Chapter 11 filing. Orders is just been purchased, and they're in Chapter 11. So some of the lower scoring gift cards tend not to have that consumer friendliness that we'd expect of getting the balance, you know, disclosing fees, no fees, and then they'll also be in a poor financial condition. So looking at my list here, Rite Aid actually it has a score of 13. So that's, you know, on the lower end. Sbarro, in the mall, they sell pizza. They're
right.
Also in Chapter 11. So we have a list of what we call gift cards to avoid. It can be hard for consumers to know the financial condition of every retailer that they shop at. You know, they're not necessarily reading the paper. So we want to make this easier for consumers to make a smart decision when it comes to buying a gift card. So those are some of the lower scores.
Michelle, John, how helpful do you find outfits like ScriptSmart.com?
Well, in regards to the retailer bankruptcy issue, that would be incredibly helpful. We had asked the FTC actually a couple of years ago to create such a website, so glad to see that somebody else has taken up the issue. It's impossible for a consumer to know whether or not their favorite retailer or restaurant is in financial trouble, so it's a great way for consumers to find out whether or not to make that purchase. You know, as far as, you know, what was mentioned earlier from a caller about giving cash, you know, that's what Consumer Advocates Party line has been. You know, there is nothing wrong with cash if you want to dress it up, put it in a nice box.
Mm-hmm. Or a check.
Or a check.
You good old-fashioned check. Jeannie from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. Still morning.
Yep.
Good morning. As a travel agent, I buy the Starbucks gift cards at Costco. So usually I can get $100 worth for about $80. So I give them to my client because when they're in the airport, they go through security and they're not allowed to bring any liquid with them. So I know they're going to buy something to drink and they're going to be stuck there. So they get a perceived value of $20. I don't spend $20. And they're really happy. I get comments on it all the time from my clients.
Is that a growing trend, Judd Lillestrand, or do you see that that's being used as a extra like that, a perk?
Yeah, I mean, I think using them as gifts, and especially if you can buy at a discount, I mean, that's a nice way to save some money. What I will say is, according to ScriptSmart, the Starbucks gift card is not redeemable at airport or at some airport, grocery store, or bookstore locations. So for the caller, just to be aware of that. But it sounds like there haven't been any problems if she hasn't heard anything from her clients. But absolutely, people, like to find a way to – I mean, she couldn't give cash to her clients, right? I mean, that would be a little awkward. But now here comes the gift card.
How do you, Judd, make a profit – from what you do for ScriptSmart.com?
Absolutely. So ScriptSmart makes revenue or earns revenue two ways. One, through advertising on the website, and then also through affiliate programs. So, for example, we talked about that secondary gift card market. So if you're on ScriptSmart and you're looking at the Starbucks gift card review, I've programmed the site to automatically check both Card Pool and Plastic Jungle for their inventory. So it'll display, hey, you could get a 7% discount on a Starbucks gift card. You know, go ahead and make the purchase if you're interested. And then ScriptSmart earns a commission from that.
Okay. Michelle, John, do you have any parting remarks for the audience about, you know, what kind of large, you know, what the larger cautions are that are out there for them, the more sweeping concerns that Consumers Union still has?
The thing that we say over and over again regarding gift cards is if you get a gift card, to use it ASAP.
Okay. I'm like feeling really bad right now, to tell you the truth. I've got so many weighting me down. So.
And you're not alone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it continues to be what we would like consumers to do, is to go out and use their gift cards as soon as possible.
And how about you, Judge Lilla Strand from ScriptSmart.com? Any words of wisdom for folks out there?
What I would say is that another thing that ScriptSmart.com offers is a free account system where you can register all those gift cards you have, and you'll receive helpful reminders, like a monthly summary of the gift cards that you own, just to help remind you that you have those gift cards. Also, when we change the status of a company to be bankrupt or financially unstable, you'll automatically receive an alert that that's happened. So that would give you a heads up, I've registered a Borders gift card, and now, you know, here they've gone bankrupt. I get an email from ScriptSmart. Great, that's helpful. I'm going to go out and redeem it and make sure that I don't end up with a worthless gift card.
And you'll tell them what their rights are and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
As far as redeemability. Okay, ScriptSmart.com. Judd Lillestrand, founder and CEO, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And also Michelle Jun, your senior staff attorney with Consumers Union, the publisher of Consumers Report. Thanks for joining us today, Michelle. I appreciate all your help.
Thank you, Ann.
And thank you for listening. You can go to WOSU.org/allsides and get those links to those companies and organizations for further reference. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.